Well, once again, good morning and Merry Christmas to you. I hope Santa has been good to you. I'm beginning to think you guys got cold this morning. You're not getting any of my good humor. Of all the liturgical celebrations, there is something more real about Christmas. We celebrate that event which touches us in a unique way, and it is more personal for some reason. Perhaps it is as simple as the fact that we each have an experience of birth, or had the pleasure of holding a baby child and felt its warmth against our own cheek and chest, feeling both its breath and heartbeat. While holding that child, one can have the powerful experience of having that child, by instinct, clutch its fist around our clothing or finger. Gracefully, it is easier to believe in God in such moments. Or perhaps you have not held a child, but attempted to ride on the back of a donkey or mule. Experience the tenuous nature of such a ride. With a desire to steady yourself, you dig your fingers into the back or neck of the animal and felt the dust and dirt of the road embedded in its hair as it grinds its way under your fingernails. The mule offers no resistance, but it remains unconcerned whether you are able to balance yourself or not. It moves forward with a steady stride, seemingly unaffected by the burden on its back. Matthew and Luke describe the Christmas story in concrete terms. They each give us a story we can visualize and understand. A young girl has a baby, and shepherds and magi come to adore him. Matthew and Luke tell us of the town of Bethlehem and the star in the sky. Their stories are so vivid, we even find ourselves adding details, like the number of the magi, or the sheep and the camels at the manger scene, or even a tale on the star. Luke and Matthew tell us a story filled with concrete things intended to answer our desire for explanations and help us to smooth or gloss over the story that is uniquely filled with mystery and wonder. John, on the other hand, focuses on the awe and mystery of the incarnation event. He does that in large part by turning to poetry. He uses metaphor and allusions to draw us into the mystery of the incarnation. John never mentions the virgin birth, for instance. John never mentions shepherds in the field either. John never mentions the magi. He doesn't deny their part in the story. He simply lifts up the more significant implications. Instead of concrete characters, we've come to recognize at the manger, John invites us to recognize the more significant mystery. John begins his gospel with the intentional echo of the beginning of Genesis. He offers, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." My friends, words are significant. Words are significant because they convey our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes towards life and towards living. They are significant because they are the main means by which civilizations and cultures are constructed, communicated, and held together. Words are power. They are power-filled because they are the means by which we convey who we are as persons and who we are as a people. The words which we use have the power to build up or to tear down, to destroy, to demolish, or to encourage, or to empower. They are the most significant force we have at our disposal to do good or to do evil. Therefore, because they carry with them our meaning, they must be used carefully. hear me well. Words must be used carefully. People who are in love know this more than anyone. People who are in love struggle within themselves to find the right words to convey to their beloved just what they are feeling. Some attempts are more successful than others. Some attempts are very successful. And yet in the end, a person who is in love knows that in the last account, any words will be totally inadequate for conveying all that one is feeling inside, within the deep recesses of one's heart. So silence is often the result after the final word, and in that silence, often more is spoken, more is said, more is known than any word might have expressed. People who are in love know this more than anyone, and God, who is desperately, passionately in love with us, knows this most of all. How do I know this? How do we know this? Is it easy to know? Yes and no. For you see, it is never easy to be the beloved, to quite believe anyone could love you like that, totally, without hesitation, without reservation, without wanting anything but love in return. It is never easy to be the beloved, yet it is less easy to be the one loving, so desperate to convey what one is feeling, so many attempts, more or less successful. God, the one who is desperately, passionately in love with us, knows this most of all. From the beginning, before creation's earliest dawn, God has been attempting to speak His love to us. God spoke His word, and all were created. God proclaimed words of love in the songs of the birds and in the golden colors of autumn leaves. God proclaimed words of love in the soft breeze of summer nights and in the gentleness of falling snow on winter days. God speaks powerfully in the lightning with its brilliance and clap of thunder. We, God's children, would have only to open our eyes and hearts to know the words of love that God speaks to us all the time. Yet it is never easy to be the beloved. And so from the beginning, we have had a hard time believing that God really, truly loves us. Nevertheless, this desperate, compassionate God sees that the words of creation are not enough. God attempts again and again. In times past, God spoke to and through the prophets in fragmentary and varied ways, struggling always, struggling to say the right words to us, the beloved. Words like, "Comfort, give comfort to my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." Words like, "Strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are troubled, be strong, fear not. Here is your God." Words like, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who will bring glad tidings, announcing peace, bearing good news, announcing salvation, saying to Zion, your God is king. For the Lord comforts his people. All the ends of the earth will behold the salvation of our God." There is one thing of which we may be certain, namely, God chooses his words carefully. John speaks plainly and powerfully when he states that the one who accepts the word of love, that is Jesus, is empowered to become a child of God. Today, we celebrate our brother's birthday. Today, we celebrate a father's love for his son. Today, we celebrate the father's love for each and every one of us. Today, our souls are invited to feel their worth. Today, we are invited to be the beloved of God. And the truth be told, that remains our deepest and most holy desire. For it is God's desire too.